Luke 17. In 1 Thessalonians 5, the Bible commands us to give thanks in everything. In Ephesians 2, the Bible tells us to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 7, the Bible records the repeated anthem of the heavenly beings around the throne of God who say, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. You see, thanksgiving is not simply a seasonal expression. It is a spiritual expectation that will endure through all eternity. We are to be a thankful people in everything forever. Regrettably, however, because of sin, we are not prone to be thankful. Romans 1:21 says this of fallen man, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This past weekend, my family enjoyed Thanksgiving dinner in the home of one of our church members. It was an enormous feast, and it was delicious, absolutely delicious, and we, of course, gorged ourselves, as I'm sure you did yourselves. But after eating and upon leaving, my wife and I had to prompt our children to say thank you. Why? Because they have dark hearts. And we too have foolish and dark hearts, Romans 1 verse 21. How do we guard ourselves from the ingratitude that is described there in Romans 1? How do we then grow in ourselves a spirit of thanksgiving? This morning from Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, as was read just a moment ago, I prepared a message titled, Lessons from a Leper. Let's pause for prayer, shall we, Lord? We confess, we concede that we are foolish and that we have dark hearts. Consequently, we are not prone to be thankful. Lord God, we recognize, however, that thanksgiving is not just a social courtesy. It's not just a spiritual discipline for this life, but it is in fact the expectation in everything for all of eternity that we would rise up and thank you for what you've done for us. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will illumine this text to us and change us because of it so that we might go from this place a grateful people. Lord, I pray that you would give me strength as I teach. I pray that you would give sharp attention to each hearer. And Lord, that you would change us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin in Luke 17, verse number 11. Now it happened as he, that is Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. At the very beginning of this narrative, I notice, number one, the condition and the position of the 10 lepers. If you are taking notes, the condition and the position of 10 lepers. In the New Testament times, leprosy was a condition that we now refer to as Hansen's disease. Leprosy, or Hansen's disease, is a condition that first appears with a discoloration of a patch of skin on the human body, either white or pink. The victim feels no pain whatsoever when that patch of skin is pricked with a sharp object. That discolored patch of skin then spreads across the body where the sensory nerve endings no longer respond to heat or to injury. And then spongy, tumorous swellings grow and the hands and the feet become withered and deformed as the tissues between the bones deteriorate and disappear. The internal organs are eventually affected as well until ultimately leprosy and its accompanying consequences are terminal. That was the condition of these 10 men in Luke 17. They were lepers. They had leprosy. And it was gross. And it was grave. In fact, in Jesus' day, lepers were called the walking dead. There was no cure. Leprosy was a hopeless and helpless condition. But more than the leper's condition, also their position. Most times, worse than the physical disease, the condition was the personal separation or the position that the leper would suffer because of his disease. At the end of verse number 12, it explains that the 10 men were lepers who stood afar off. They were lepers, that's their condition, but they stood afar off, that's their position. They were cast away, they were shut out, they were separated, and they had to keep their distance because of their disease. Consequently, lepers could not socialize with family and friends. Lepers could not enter the temple to worship. Lepers could not live in the city. The law required that lepers rend their clothes as a sign of extreme sorrow, and they had to hide their faces from being seen. Rabbinic tradition demanded that lepers stand at least 100 paces from anyone else. Now, if a pace is up to 3 feet, perhaps my pace is only 2 feet, but yours is 3 feet. That means that 100 paces or 300 feet, 100 yards, a football field, had to separate a leper from his or her family and friends. That was their position. There in verse 12, they stood afar off. Perhaps you've heard of leper colonies where lepers were banished to live out their days caring for each other apart from society. It was an awful condition. It was an awful position. And I'm not sure that anything I could say this morning could adequately convey the devastation of leprosy in the ancient world. The physical condition and position of these lepers is cited for us here in the text. But I ask myself, what of the spiritual condition and position of these 10 lepers? You see, these 10 lepers were not only the walking dead physically, they were the walking dead spiritually. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 that all men are the walking dead spiritually, for Ephesians 2 describes us as dead in our sin. The Bible teaches that everyone is a sinner. Through one man, sin entered the world, that's through Adam. And death through sin, the consequences of sin is death. And thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. However, the physical disease of leprosy, or like the physical disease of leprosy, we don't always feel the spiritual disease of sin. Our senses are dulled. Our hearts are deceitful. They're desperately wicked. We don't even know it. And even though we do good things, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 46:6. Our spiritual condition is spiritual depravity and spiritual death, whether we know it or not. And then also our spiritual position is separation from God. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:2, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. So that positionally, sinful man, fallen man, is at enmity with God, and there is no fancy formula to fix it. There is no special potion that can heal it. Only in Jesus Christ can we be saved from our sin and reconciled to God. Romans 5, verses 8 through 11, you know the scripture well, but God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were sinners, while we were in our sinful condition, and while we were in our sinful position, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the faith, through the death of his son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so while none of us suffer the physical condition or position of leprosy today, it's been eradicated in the modern world, we all do suffer the spiritual condition and position, which leaves us with no other option than to cry out for help. As the lepers did in verse 13, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Do you see it there in verse 13? And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I call this number 2, the cry and the plea of the 10 lepers. First is the condition and the position of the 10 lepers. Secondly, the cry and the plea of the 10 lepers. Because of the necessary distance the lepers had to keep from other people, They would have had to cry out to be heard. And I mentioned the 100 paces, the 300 feet, the football field of distance. In fact, we might imagine a family member going to visit their loved one, a leper there in that leper colony, calling out, "How are you coming along? Is there anything that you need?" And one would have to cry out to be heard. Beggars, of course, sit along the pathway and the roadway, asking for money or food or assistance. But these lepers could not be there along the pathway or the roadway. But rather, the lepers had to stay away from the public. And to gain attention, they had to cry out. On this particular occasion in Luke 17, of course, they knew Jesus was passing by. And they knew that Jesus was a miracle worker from Galilee. Jesus was the one who had restored sight to the blind. Jesus is one who had healed the lame. Perhaps if they cried out, if they pled with him for mercy, perhaps he could help them. Perhaps he could give them some comfort from their suffering. Perhaps they could even heal them of their leprosy. And so in their crying out, they petitioned him, "Have mercy on us." And folks, there is no better prayer to pray. There is no better cry to cry than, "Lord, have mercy on us." You'll remember the Pharisee and the tax collector in the temple. In fact, it's probably just across the page in your Bibles, Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Perhaps you need to turn the page, but in Luke 18, look at verse number 9. "And he," that is Jesus, "spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank you.'" Oh, good. He's a thankful man. He's a thankful Pharisee, right? "I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It's the very same prayer that the 10 lepers are praying or crying or calling out, "Be merciful." Jesus says in Luke 18 verse 14, "I tell you, this man," that is the tax collector, "went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The tax collector in Luke 18 stood afar off like the lepers. The tax collector in Luke 18 cried out for mercy like the lepers. And the tax collector understood his spiritual condition and his spiritual position to be like that of the physical condition and the physical position of the lepers. And the tax collector cried out and pled for mercy. We need to do the same. Regrettably, we seldom do. The promise is, if we call on the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. Back in Luke 17, verse 14, "So when he," that is Jesus, "saw the 10 lepers, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed." Now, rather than reaching out and touching the 10 lepers, Jesus instead called back, "Go, show yourself to the priests." That was not Jesus' normal modus operandi or mode of operation. Normally, Jesus would touch the lame, touch the blind, touch those who needed healing. But in this case, Jesus calls back to them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." The law of Moses concerning leprosy and the cleansing of leprosy demanded that a pronouncement of cleansing be made by the priest before they could be reassimilated back into the community. And so in faith, the 10 lepers were on their way to show the priest, and as they went, they were cleansed and healed. And I commend the lepers for their faith. They took Jesus at his word. They believed. They obeyed. And certainly there are lessons that we could learn from these lepers to help us this morning to trust and obey. But one leper turned back to Jesus. Jesus, the true high priest. And he fell at Jesus' feet. Verse 15, you know the account well. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The Bible says that one leper, just one out of 10% of those who were healed of the incurable disease of leprosy returned to Jesus. And he was a Samaritan. Leave it to the Samaritans, the half-breeds, the ethnic outcasts. In Luke 10, it was a good Samaritan. You remember the good Samaritan? Here now it is a grateful Samaritan. And the Bible says that he fell at Jesus' feet and he gave thanks because Jesus had been merciful to him. Folks, have you experienced the mercy of God in your lives? Have you experienced the grace of God in your lives? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you been healed from that awful condition and position of sin? Do you have a home in heaven? Have you experienced the mercy of God? The grace of God? Have you been healed of your sin? To that we ought to say amen. I would call it the celebration and the praise of the leper, number three. The celebration and the praise of the leper. Our worship and our praise and our adoration and exaltation and thanksgiving ought to lift the roof off this building. Thank you. And now I know that I often rebuke you for your mild manner. After all, we live here in the upper Midwest. We're fundamental separated Baptist conservative Christians. And we don't want to cry out with a loud voice. That's awkward, right? If there's 500 or 600 people here and you were to say amen, if you were to say praise the Lord or hallelujah, that's embarrassing. But for the leper who was cleansed of his leprosy, he cried out with a loud voice his celebration and his praise. He says, thank you, Lord Jesus. I am often rebuked in my spirit when we are in public, perhaps as a family, and perhaps we're enjoying some fine cuisine at Arby's or McDonald's. And there we bow our heads to thank the Lord for that meal. But I speak in hushed tones, right? I don't want others to overhear what we're doing. And I make it quick because I don't want others to see that maybe we've bowed our heads in prayer and thanksgiving. But 10 minutes later, I'm not ashamed when our family is obnoxiously loud and we're laughing and talking and enjoying ourselves. It's a rebuke to me that this leper cried out with a loud voice, glorifying God, thanking God. The celebration and the praise of the one leper. Look at verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Rhetorical question, of course there were, but where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this Samaritan? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now, it is important to note that all 10 of the lepers were healed or cleansed of their physical disease, verse 17. But only one came to know the Lord as his personal Savior. How do I know that? Well, look at the text and follow me on this. Only one was made well or whole. The word at the end of verse 19 is sozo, meaning saved. If we know that what is rendered has made you well at the end of verse 19 is the word saved, meaning saved. There is a question to be asked and answered in our text. Is Jesus pronouncing a special blessing upon this one man, which is above and beyond what the other 9 received? All 10 of the men were healed of their leprosy. So in what sense is the one leper saved at the end of verse 19? Now Luke uses the term sozo or saved in 3 primary ways in his gospel, the gospel of Luke. First, the term can describe physical healing, even exorcism in some cases, but here physical healing. Secondly, Luke uses the term sozo to refer to the saving of one's physical life when Jesus was challenged to come down from the cross to save himself, to save his life. So physical healing and physical life. Third, the term is used perhaps most often of eternal salvation. In some cases, it would appear there is a blending of the first and the third uses, so that the physical healing and spiritual salvation are both depicted by the term saved. How then does Luke use the term saved at the end of verse 19? The Bible translators of the New King James Version, as I have it before me here, translate it, "Your faith has made you well." But it's the word sozo. It is my humble opinion that Luke uses sozo with the added sense of spiritual salvation, in the sense of being healed. All 10 of the lepers, all 10 of them were saved. But in the sense of recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, and in giving thanks to him as such, only this one leper did so. And I believe that his salvation here goes beyond the physical cleansing of his leprosy to the spiritual cleansing of his sin. In this case, one of the 10 was saved spiritually. Now, the explanation and the exposition of this text this morning is very simple. It's very very, very simple. In fact, most often we reserve this narrative for the Sunday school class with the boys and girls, a bit of flannel graph and perhaps an object lesson. Seldom does this text in Luke 17 rise to the level of a Sunday morning message because it's so simple. But folks, it's so profound. And the spiritual discipline that we are called to here in Luke 17 is so important. Do you have an attitude of gratitude this morning for the cleansing you have received, not from your leprosy, but from your sin? Are you a thankful people? Perhaps you have not received that cleansing. Then today might be the day where you cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." We are very blessed with spiritual blessings and physical blessings that sometimes we take our eyes off the giver, the one who has given it all. We're eager to run off and live our lives. Here in my notes, I've just jotted down some of the blessings in my life that I am thankful for. Consider these spiritual blessings the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've heard my salvation testimony before, but I was blessed to be raised in a Christian home. My father, in fact, was a pastor. From my earliest remembrances, I heard the gospel. But it wasn't until June of 1981, I was a small child, 5 years old, that the Lord Jesus graced me with the faith to believe. So there I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. I'm grateful for my salvation. The indwelling ministry of the Holy Spirit is a seal of our salvation to comfort us and illumine the scripture to us. Do you hear me every Sunday morning before we open the Word of Life? I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. No matter how eloquent of a teacher I might be, it is the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and impresses it upon our hearts and our minds. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. He's our comforter and he illumines the scripture to us. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God. I've jotted here the complete revelation of God as providentially preserved and available to us in the English language. We have the Holy Scriptures. We have numerous copies of the Scriptures, and we fight over which is the best English translation. But when do we ever say, "Lord God, thank you for your love letter to us. Thank you for putting it in print so that we might read it and know it." I've written down, I'm thankful for a local church where we can corporately worship God and enjoy the edification of one another and study the scriptures. Pinch yourself this morning and recognize that you are here as part of this fellowship of believers. This is an incredible luxury. This is a great blessing. This is a gift from God. Maybe you've been part of Fourth Baptist Church for a lifetime and it's old hat to you. Well, not to me. To me, I am thrilled and grateful to be part of this body of believers. These are some of the spiritual blessings that I've written here in my notes. How about the physical blessings, the health and the strength and life that we have? My family suffered over the last two days with a flu virus, a stomach virus, and we are now on the mend. I am thankful for that. It's a simple thing. It's a small thing. I'm thankful for the freedom and liberty to worship in this place. I'm thankful for the wealth to drive cars and live in nice houses. I have two cars. I have a nice house. I've jotted here the church building facility that is comfortable and convenient. We have a beautiful facility. Thank you, Lord, for providing for us this place to meet. Written here, medical care in our country that is second to none. I've jotted down employment with benefits. The church provides health insurance for me. I'm so grateful. These are the physical blessings, and I would encourage you this morning with an attitude of gratitude for what the Lord has done for you. Perhaps this weekend you took a moment to rehearse some of these, but why are we only thankful once a year at this season? In conclusion, have you ever thought about the other nine lepers? The other nine lepers here in our text, after all, Jesus asked, where are the nine? There's no answer. We know that's a rhetorical question, but where are the nine? What do they have to say for themselves? Why did they not return also and thank Jesus for healing them? Here are some ideas. If you might use your sanctified imagination, perhaps one waited to see if the cure was real. Perhaps one waited to see if it would last. Another said he would see Jesus later. One decided that he had never had leprosy after all. One said he would have gotten well in time anyway. One gave the glory to the priests. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. One said, any rabbi could have done what Jesus did. One said, I was already much improved. What's your excuse in not giving glory to God and thanking Him for what He has done in your life? Well, I'm a self-made man. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I labored, worked hard, earned everything I have. Shame on you. God, thank you for the physical provision you've given us. You might say, well, Pastor, I was really never a bad sinner like you. I was saved when I was just a child. It's not that big of a deal. Shame on you. Know that we might be a people that are grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the lessons that we can learn from the lepers. Lord, it's a simple narrative, but it teaches us a powerful truth. And Lord, while my intent is not to rebuke our people this morning, but rather to exhort us to be a people that are thankful, knowing that we will spend eternity around your throne, glorifying you and worshiping you and thanking you for who you are and what you've done. Oh God, may we be willing to cry out with a loud voice, have mercy on us if that's our need this morning. May we also be willing to cry out with a loud voice, thank you, if that's our case this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would go from this place rejoicing in who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.